the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. So that's God's plan A. And as John Piper has written in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, from which he got the title from this psalm, he says, missions exist because worship does not. And so it's God's plan for him to be worshiped throughout all the earth, and we get to be a part of that plan. So Tim is going to come, and he's going to share what God has laid on his heart. I'll just give this to you.
You feel okay?
I feel
no
great.
Temperature, nothing, right?
No temperature.
All right. Let's see. Well, I must say, any of you know me know that this church started not because of me. It was Dr. Jimmy Johnson. He's the one that gave me credibility and everything. So I got to give him credit for that. It's great to be with you, and I first of all thank you for your participation and support in what God's doing around the world. I know you're this small body here just supported like the printing of like 10,000 God's Plan for Disciples and God's Plan for His Church just in Nigeria. I wish we could all go to Nigeria, some of these places, just to see what God is doing. The hunger. How many of you this morning would be willing to name the name of Christ and tell people you're a believer if they were going to behead you? That's what's happened in Nigeria and many places around the world. And that's what we're going to focus on. I was thinking about bringing a message, but I'm going to share the word. But really, I thought some pictures maybe would speak maybe loudly to us all, to me too. I thought I was going to say that I was the oldest person here, so you couldn't age out till Gene came in. Now, Terry, I didn't say who looks the oldest. But anyway. The scripture, the song we were singing, Worthy, and you come right down below that in the same verse. It says, people from every tribe, every language, every people, every nation, every people group in the world will be there. It's unbelievable. They're going to be there. What an awesome time that's going to be. But then we were talking about the psalm that we read, talking about the name of God and His glory. How can that happen if somebody doesn't go? Romans 10. How can they hear unless someone tells them? That's what God is. That's the what He's chosen us to do. But I can tell you in the world today, and I know we get in our own little world, and I've not traveled in almost a year. My last trip in February was to China and to Myanmar. And so I know I can understand how we get in our little world here and we get comfortable and we eat plenty and all that stuff. And I know I can go on a mission trip and I know the power of this culture here in America. Within a week, it's like a giant vacuum cleaner sucking you back into this American dream, American way. And I know that. I understand that. And let me just say something else before I share this morning. I want to, of course, thank you for your involvement and what you're doing. Cannot tell you the impact it's going to make and is making. And I don't mean to make anyone feel bad. Edith tells me sometimes, you present like everybody should do what you're doing. and you make them feel bad. Well, I think we all should be a part of getting this gospel to people all over the world. Now, I don't know what that means for you. I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. But in Habakkuk, it says, look among the nations and see and wonder and be astounded, for I'm doing a work in your days. You would not believe it if I told you. I tell you, this is unbelievable what God is doing. I used to stand and say China was where God was working. The greatest growth of Christianity was in China. Well, today I can tell you it is in Iran. 20% growth. Now, to put that in perspective, in America, the growth is 0.05. Not even 0.1. 0.05. And that's the way it is. We join God at work. That's the reason I travel. We find where God's at work and we join Him. Just like Terry, I was reading this morning, thanks to Terry, we've got that in God's plan for disciples on how to study the Bible with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And it just occurred to me this morning that when he went there, the Ethiopian eunuch, the Holy Spirit led him there. When he got there, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the Bible, the Word of God. So God was at work. Anytime somebody's hungering for the Word of God, God's at work because a natural man, a lost person, they don't care nothing about the Word of God. In fact, they hate it. I've shared with you before when the Christmas in 1977, when I was at my mother's house and she read the Christmas story. I said, Mother, if you ever read that Bible again in front of me, I'll never come back. And she didn't. But I tell you one thing she did. She started praying, and that was the worst year. I lost my driving license, was drunk driving, everything. It was the worst year of my life. Come next Christmas, I was saved. And I loved God's Word. So we join God at work. We see where people are interested in the Word of God, spiritual things. We join there. If you try to work where God's not at work, you reduce His work down to just a mere educating the mind. We work where He's at work. Even here, God's at work. Maybe not as massive. Maybe it's because we got everything so good. Because I love refugee camps because, man, you get in a refugee camp in Sudan. I've been to Sudan, other places, refugee camps. Let me tell you. Ooh, as we used to say down south here, it's like a hog in slop. Because there's such a hunger for the Word of God. So anyway, let's start. Let's see, I guess I got to turn this thing on. And let's see, Terry, you said about what time?
11:40.
Okay, I better get started here. Let's see now. John told me. Okay. First of all, this really is not, I just wanted to share with you because this is something we've been working on, Jenny and Martha and Sherman and Danny, several others have been working on developing God's plan for His disciples for young people. I am so excited about this because everywhere we take God's plan for His disciples, it turns the people's lives and their families and their villages upside down. And the reason it does that, the first two chapters are returning to the authority and the sufficiency of the Word of God, and number two is the Holy Spirit. You could probably just do with those two chapters. If you can get somebody back to the sufficiency and the authority of the Word of God and a dependency on the Holy Spirit, let me tell you, something's going to happen. But anyway, we carry it on. But anyway, we've got this for young people. And I cannot tell you, Jenny and Martha, you just wait till you see this. This is unbelievable what they've done. And then Danny working on the graphics and everything. Anyway, I wanted to show that to you. That's going to be the cover, front cover. And then this is going to be the back cover. And anyway, Martha's written an endorsement back there. And I'll just go on. But anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. Just passing this on, passing this on. Looking at the remaining tasks in the world today, I know this is not exactly accurate. Really, no one knows exactly. But this is a general idea of how many people groups or ethnic groups. Some say it's 15,000, 16,000, 12,000, 11,000. That's not the issue. We know that there's about 6,800 that are unreached, meaning there's less than 2% believers there. There's not a church that's capable of reproducing itself in that particular people group. I know this is hard to believe, that we have thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of churches of all around the world, maybe a million, I don't know how many churches, and we still, after 2,000 years, have 3,000 unengaged people group where nobody's trying to reach them. And I think our Lord said his last thing was to go, to be going. Not an invitation, but a command. And I'm thankful for the ones that have gone over the years. But anyway, it just gives an idea, a little general idea. Now, I wonder if we can get that video going.
Keep talking because it's going to take a little while.
Okay. Yeah, I wish I'd say what I said at the beginning until now. Now I don't know what to say. Maybe to get cranked up here in a minute. Let me read this, what Martha wrote here. So your child has chosen to follow Christ. Now what? What are the critical biblical principles they need to know in order to grow into mature disciples of Jesus? Teaching those principles to children does not have to be complicated. The discipleship lessons in this manual do not have to be taught by a professional educator. That's the reason I can teach it. They are set up to be presented by parents, Sunday school teachers, or other mentors who themselves are disciples. Each lesson provides guidance for the presenter, scripture, memory verses, and hands-on activity for children. Children are important to God. That is so true that Matthew 18:10 states, "Be careful, don't think these little children are worth nothing. I tell you that they have angels in heaven who are always with my Father in heaven." When children come to Christ, they have all their lives to live for Him, grow as His disciples, and share with others. This manual is a valuable tool for helping them do that. Martha Evans, Director of Children's Ministry, Fellowship Bible Church. If you can't get that going, we're just going. My time may be consumed with the pictures, Terry, so that's okay. You can show it maybe if you want to. Later on sometime, if you want to. But yeah, we'll go with the pictures.
All right.
Thank you. Okay. Now, Jerry, maybe they turn that off and see a little bit better. Thank you. Every day, I have a thing, I get news every day. Every day you hear of Christians being killed and kidnapped in Nigeria. Now, Randy's going there in April. He'll be going there. This is where we've printed that material. You can't imagine how we live here and you contrast it with some of these other places. And they're fleeing into refugee camps. These brothers were killed, beheaded for Jesus. These young men here, I don't understand why these lives don't matter in Africa. I just wonder about that. Does it have to be an American life to matter? I just wonder about that. These are the girls who were kidnapped from that school. You probably heard about it in the news. It's been several years ago. These are their pictures. They kidnap them at a young age. They take them. The Muslims take them. And they marry them. And God only knows what they do. I don't see where America, I mean the Bible, shows any difference between Americans and Nigerians or Iranians or whatever. That's them. Can you imagine your parents out there? Nobody's helping them. They pleaded for America to help them. They pleaded for people to help them. Nobody helped them. Why? Because they're poor. They don't have anything. They're nobodies. They're just Christians. These parents bring our girls back. 300, this is more recent, 300 school boards adopted. What they do, they take them and they train and brainwash them into Islam. This is who we're working right in the midst. Terry goes right in the midst of Boko Haram, right in the middle there, because where they're at is where people are starving for God. And there's this one song or scripture read, hope, that's the hope of the world. That's the only lasting hope there is in the world. It's Jesus Christ, the one who died, came up from the grave, takes away our sins.
And that's Randy Matthews.
Yeah, Randy Matthews, yes. And I think he wants to come and share with y'all sometime. He's in Connecticut.
Amen.
This is what's going on right now in Nigeria and many other places. And I'll have to move on here. But that, look at there. Does that matter? Does that matter to us? I've traveled all over Africa, I'm going to tell you. The worst place here in America is like paradise over there. I've never seen anything like it. Ethiopia, I just go on and on about the starvation, the rape, and the killing, the murder, and the beheadings, and on and on. Iran, fastest growing place in the world for Christianity. These have been in prison for their faith. For Christ, for being a Christian. This is, and we've got our material already printed, already translated, ready to go in the Farsi, the God's plan for His disciples and God's plan for His church. The reason we have that is the reason it's so important because our training material does not require money, it does not require buildings, it does not require a Bible college or seminary degree. In fact, it thrives on simple people that love Jesus. And filled with the Spirit. Just like the early church. Baptisms are taking place in Iran. Let me tell you, when you're baptized there, it means something. Can you imagine? I just would like to be there. I would like to be right there. I mean, can you imagine the excitement, the commitment, seeing people that are willing to die for Jesus? Rohingyas. This is the largest refugee camp in the world. For years, I've gone to Myanmar, Burma. Never realized about the Rohingyas. The Rohingyas are from Burma. And Burma says, you don't belong here. You're not citizens. They have no citizen. They have no rights at all. So they've they've fled. They persecuted them. This is a village right here that's burnt down. That's what the Burmese military has done. They've done that to the Karen and other minority groups, Chin, Kachin, and they're still doing it to a lot of them. And that's the village. That's a village right there that's not burned. There's one that's burned. That's going on right now. To show you that this is actual, these are drawings by children that have fled Myanmar, Burma, and gone to Bangladesh. These are drawings by children. So there's no lying here. There's no deception. You can see the bombing that's taking place. You can see the killing and shooting that's taking place, how they come into a village and just kill them all. There's a few Christians in there, and I'm working with them right now. We are. And we're going there. We're going there, Lord willing, in March. Because they need hope. They need the gospel. They need the forgiveness of sins, among other things. Putting them in the fire, burning them. Can you believe this takes place in the world today? Can you believe that? You know why? Rohingyas are nothing. It's like they don't mean nothing. They're just as important to God as we are.
Amen.
There they are hanging them. These are drawings by little kids sharing what they've seen back in Myanmar, Burma. And this is where they're fleeing. The largest concentration, the largest refugee camp, 1 million, is in Bangladesh. That's where we want to get in. And Lord willing, Curtis Bostett and some doctors in Charleston, hopefully we can get a medical team in there. If we can get the medical team in there, hopefully we can get Christ in there. That's what we plan on doing. The gospel is the most important thing, though. Here they are fleeing on boats. They go to, and I've got several programs on this that I could share with you. But they go on boats and they go to Thailand. When they get to Thailand, they're killed there. These are human beings. These are people created in the image of God. I know this is I've never shown this before at anywhere, nowhere. This is the first time I made this just for Fellowship Bible Church. I've never shown this anywhere. And I know it's hard. But I don't want us to go to heaven and look back and see we've wasted our whole lives. And we get there for eternity all and look back and say, man, I was here for a vapor and it was here and gone. I wasted it. Young people, don't waste your life. Make it count. I promise you, you won't be sorry. You won't be sorry. You won't regret it. This is inside the refugee camp that's in Cox's Bazar. I've been down to Cox's Bazar. It's in the southernmost part of Bangladesh on the border of Burma. In fact, there was something almost we thought we were going to get killed down there, but anyway. Yeah. Even the worst situation here in America is much better than that. Keep that in mind. I know people make you think, you know, but anyway. Saint-Élise. I shared here about 2 years ago, I don't know if you remember or not, I shared with you about the Saint-Élise. And at that time, we were going over there to the Andaman Islands and working with the various, all this is confidential here, and working with the Karen there about how we could get to the island, North Senatel Island. And if you remember the story, and I'm have to quickly, let's say I won't share, I think I've shared the story, but these people too, their lives matter too. They've never heard the gospel. That's where it's located. Here is India and over there is Myanmar. The British used to control these islands, so naturally what they did, and it could have been us, but what they did really created hostility towards white people. And that's one of the problems. You won't read that, but that's the reason they're hostile towards them. And we would have been too if we'd had done to us what was done to them. Here's the village. These people, there's no electricity. Can you imagine? They're primitive Stone Age people. Yes, in the world today, there's people like that. And you know what? When we get to heaven, I don't know how many is going to be there or who, but they're going to be there. Somebody's going to be there. And on the right here is John Chow. He went. He gave his life. He went to the island. You remember the story. He went there and they killed him. As far as we know, they've not found his body. Fine young man. I knew him very well. Traveled with him. Just sold out for the Lord and gave his life. And you know, he gave it cheerfully. That was when he was going to the island, the day he was going. What a joy it is to serve the Lord. What a joy. What else matters? They're in bondage, no hope. They need Jesus. Aren't we glad someone told us? Well, this is in the 1040 window. Most of them, that's not to say there's nothing outside, but pretty much the unreached people groups are in what we call a 1040 window there, North Africa and India and Middle East and through there. So it's not a clear-cut thing, but it kind of gives you an idea of where 95% of the lost people in the world live. They're generally Muslims, Hindu, and Buddhists, and animists. And that's, anyway, what do we do? Well, today, and for years, we've sought new ways of doing missions, new methods, new models, more education, this and that, and that and this, and so forth and so on. Well, and the greatest movement ever in the church, the most committed, sold out, powerful, empowered disciples that's ever lived, the greatest expansion of the church, Acts 17, 4, I think, says they turned the world upside down. This happened when there was none of the stuff that we have today. There were no buildings. I mean, I'm glad we got this building this morning. I'm glad. It'd be cold. Money, Bible college, seminary, all this stuff. So what we do, and to me, I've always been a simple person to think practically, well, if that's the greatest movement, then how did they do it? Instead of let's go and looking for something new, let's go back and let's see how they did that. How they went from Jerusalem to Rome in 10 years with no planes, no trains, no vehicles, no buses. How did they do that? I know of no movement today that could do something like that, even with all of our everything we've got. So I want to go back and see how they went from Jerusalem to Rome in just 10 years. They did it through the power of the Holy Spirit preaching the Word of God. And you know what? We have everything today that they had. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. In fact, we got more. To turn this world upside down for Jesus and to finish the task of reaching all the people groups in the world. When I go and speak, and I have spoken, I remember my mind just went to one place in Burma. There we had all the pastors in Yangon. There was about 100 and something there. And I shared on this right here. Here we go with a square wheel today, trying to use our traditions and methods and so forth. You come along and you offer them the Word of God and the Holy Spirit as being sufficient enough. That's all you need. Here's a round wheel. I don't have time. No thanks. We're too busy. Every person here has everything they need to accomplish all that God's called you to do. You got it. And that great commission to go into all the world, I don't care if you're 12 years old, or 80 or whatever, whether you're educated, not educated, whatever. That command goes to everybody that says they are a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, when we go, we're to go, yes, to Jerusalem. But it's not Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the world. It's not that. Thanks to Terry, he informed me on the Greek, what the Greek means there. This is what it says when you read it. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, both in Judea, both in Samaria, and both to the ends of the world. That's the literal meaning of that passage. We're to be going everywhere. And thank the Lord that you are, and you're involved in what God is doing. And this is our material here, which you're familiar with that. Anyway, we don't sell it. If we do sell it, put all the money goes back into the mission work. Nobody profits off of it. So, what you've heard, pass these things on. That's what it's about. It's passing this on. Aren't you glad? I am so glad that, you know, the first person I called when I got saved was my mother, because she passed on to me. If you're not going to pass it on, don't even get involved in it. We got to pass these things on in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. And I intend on doing that as long as I can. So the Great Commission, we end with that. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. And let me just say that means not like America, not like Russia, not like China. That nations is a word, is ethne or ethnos, means people group, ethnic group. All the Iranians, the Santalese, the Rohingyas, or whatever it is, all those thousands of people groups in the world. Some people, even if they wanted to hear, could not hear, have no way of hearing. So it's given to all of us. Everyone that says, I'm a Christian, I'm a disciple, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. He didn't say, if you're 90 years old. In fact, we've got a lady 94 years old. I tell you what, she goes with us in her prayers. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what she does in prayer. And I remember Doris Weathers. Boy, she went with us. We got back connected after several years when my mother died. My mother died, I went straight to Doris Weathers. And I said, we need a prayer warrior. And boy, you know her. She says, I've been praying for you. Let me tell you something. She it makes a difference. I know I'm standing here. Got to be prayer. But go. Everybody. There's no, you can do something. And if anybody wants to go, I'll be glad to start meeting with you, praying and prepare and work together to go. So that's it, Brother Terry. I think we missed the video, but maybe you can show it later or something.
I will show that later.
Okay.